to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound, where, as always, we're kicking the week off with a look at art. And our city in focus today is Milan. Our correspondent in the city, Ivan Carvalho, has been gallivanting from one museum to the next to take in the art on offer for those of you heading to Italy for your holidays this August, perhaps. And here he is, Ivan Carvalho. Welcome to the programme. And we're going to begin at the Palazzo della Permanente, which is all about the Triennale. This is the 21st, is it, century design after design Triennale?
What's happened is that this year, the Triennale Design Museum has put on this major series of events and exhibits across the city. So you can take it in at various sites. This one at the Palazzo della Permanente, it's a small venue, but it's quite nice and it's quite central. So if you're visiting Milan for the weekend and you want to maybe just take a short break from your retail therapy and you want to pop in and see this exhibit, I think it's quite nice because it's quite short, but nonetheless very interesting. And it looks at the 21st century design after design. So from globalization, post-economic crisis, looking at third world and also industrial societies in design. And at the Permanente, we have a quite interesting mixture of exhibits looking at, for one, which I found interesting, was Polish design. Another quite interesting was also looking at Iranian designers who actually, from Iran, they were sending in their designs, young designers, and then through a 3D printer, they were producing these objects from things like interesting food design, so bottles to store spices. And one quite interesting and quite obvious in some ways, one would think, but no one's really done it before, is you have a honeycomb hexagonal design of a bottle for honey. But, you know, you haven't seen that before. So I thought it was quite cute. Somebody in Iran is thinking about food packaging. One doesn't really associate Iran with great food packaging, but there you have it. And so I think, you know, it's a fun exhibit to pop into and get a taste of this great big retrospective on design and where design looks to be going in the future.
And one of the things, of course, as an adopted Milanese yourself, Ivan, biennales, triennales, one of the great strengths of them is their commitment to their infiltration of the city in which they find themselves. How much does this Milan Triennale invest itself in the streets around you? Can you live in Milan without knowing it's on, I wonder?
This one, because it started with the Salon del Mobile Furniture Fair back in April, I mean, there was a big push to promote this exhibit, which will go on through September. There are a few things that go into next year. For example, the Women in Design, which is something that has been received very favorably. There are a few designers from product design to jewelry that we've also featured in Monocle. So sort of up and coming names, as well as sort of established older designers from Italy. And with this presentation going from, of course, the Triennale Design Museum, which everybody knows, to smaller venues like the Permanente, it's really been able to broaden it out. I mean, you can go to Hangar Bicocca, which is typically the very contemporary art gallery, to Fabrica del Vapore. And so you have up to 19 venues, which they've designed to really give people the options, you know, where their hotel is, perhaps they can go in and look at some of these exhibits. And it's really thought-provoking kinds of exhibits. I mean, if you look at the Triennale one, that was quite interesting with the looking at 100 different tools related to 100 verbs. So looking at the verb accelerate, and you have a giant ship propeller. Now, with this thing that I mentioned at the Permanente, you have, for example, Angola was featured, and a very clever, simple design of reusing tires, where they've teamed up to take three recycled tires and put them together to form a very simple sort of lounge chair. To an exhibit from Yamaha in Japan looking at the musical instruments. So you can look at how the electric piano has developed over the decades, and you're serenaded by the very soothing atmospheric sounds of French composer Eric Satie's Junipide number one, and it's quite nice, it's quite soothing. And in this heat in Milan in the summer, I think it's nice to go into this space and have sort of a moment of cool reflection on where design's going.
It sounds like fascinating stuff. Also nice to see a programming of exhibitions around this Triennale that are about stuff rather than people, I suppose. You can, you know what I mean, Ivan? You can kind of get yourself into a different headspace. You know that where an exhibition kind of begins and ends, I suppose, when it is dedicated more to design than art, right? I mean, you know, you know what you think about it, you can move on and digest it.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, when you look at this one at Permanente, there's one space upstairs where they look at the sort of, the theme is approximation, looking at how, you know, objects, we take objects and sort of help approximate, you know, our life, whether it's a calculator or post-it notes. And it's a very curious selection of objects, even the very simple graphite pencils from Stadler. And it's very beautiful in its simplicity, looking at very simple items of design that we don't look at because they're everyday objects that we don't really think about in that way. And that was quite striking to me. And it was a very small exhibit, but very intense in terms of taking you through, again, these very simple everyday objects and really rethinking them.
Okay, well, that is much to be recommended. According to Our Man in Milan, Ivan Carvalho, it is the Triennale and it's on until the 12th of September all over Milan. We singled out a show at the Palazzo del Permanente Museum. Next up, we're going to look at the amazing history of L'Espresso at Palazzo Reale. Ivan, this is right up our street, I suppose, as media nerds here at Monaco. Talk us through, maybe for some of our listeners who don't know, L'Espresso and its reputation, its quality, what that title is.
Yeah, I mean, it's a news weekly that started out in 1955, and it was and is known for, I mean, it was founded from sort of principles of the center left, and it's been very, very productive. In the past, it's been known for great reportage investigative pieces, whether it's looked at corruption in the highest circles of power to, of course, the mafia. And when I came first to Italy in the beginning of the 2000s, I remember the very sort of striking, powerful covers with images and big, bold black text on the titles when Daniela Amaui was the editor-in-chief. She was the first woman to lead this publication. And they were very incisive pieces. Of course, it was the years of Berlusconi when he was obviously getting in and out of trouble, various allegations here and there. But when you look at the reportage pieces, I was quite impressed with the types of articles that they were doing. And this thing just shows over the decades, you know, what L'Espresso has done with photography. I mean, it's really striking, powerful imagery. For example, there was an image from the mid-70s of a naked pregnant woman on a crucifix, since abortion wasn't legalized until later. So they were really trying to be incisive and really provoke the public. And the images here are a great treat. There's almost 500 of them. I mean, it was an exhibit that started last year in Rome for the 60-year anniversary. But you have more images actually this year, so I think you're better off seeing it in Milan.
And it was very much before its time. I mean, you think back now, the News Weekly, the economics of running a magazine like that or a News Weekly like that as well seems like it's more relevant now than it kind of ever was before. And that use of original photography as well, Ivan. Just finally on this one, this L'Espresso show at the Palazzo Reale, what is the sort of pace of the show? Is it very hard-hitting reportage stuff? Is there sort of beauty and protest and ugliness all mixed up in one?
I mean, it's a mixture. There's no sort of set order or chronological order to the exhibit. It was curated by the photo editor of the publication. You know, and it looks at chronicling, you know, what they've been doing, you know, looking at Italian life, the key international events, and sort of society and how it's changed. I mean, there are images, for example, some really striking images looking top down from a helicopter of migrants in the Med. I mean, it really is sort of capturing the huddled masses on this one boat. And the same photographer has also shot, of course, the Costa Concordia disaster off the coast of Italy. So sort of juxtaposing those images of ships, big and small. And you look at also, you know, images of major political events. I mean, the black and white photography is really amazing. It really gives you, I mean, I had some nostalgia, you know, I wish I was, you know, growing up and reading this publication every week, you know, on the subway or at home, because it really, that black and white sort of quality, the contrast is really, really powerful. And so I'd really recommend spending, you know, a good few hours of going at a slow pace and looking at the various decades that has Italy, you know, progressed from, you know, the post-war economic boom to the troubles of the 70s and then the Berlusconi years later.
Yeah, it's beautiful stuff. Sometimes you don't know you're looking at a work of art when you're looking at it in a magazine, but when it's put on the walls of a gallery, somehow it seems that much different and poignant, perhaps. Okay, that is L'Espresso at Palazzo Reale, and that is on until the 11th of September. Finally, we're going to squeeze it in a couple of minutes, Ivan. One of the great kings of Spanish art, modern art anyway, Miro at the MUDEC Museum. Now, this is called Force of Matter. It sounds like a heavy metal album, but it's not. What's going on with this one?
MUDEC is a museum that's quite new. It's in the Zona Tortona area, housed in a former factory of the Ansaldo company that used to make locomotives, and then David Chipperfield worked on the design. It was a long process to get this museum up and running, but I think this is a good exhibit to go and inaugurate your experience at the MUDEC. You know, yeah, the force of matter, really about the very sort of wide range of materials that Miro used in his works. You know, you have things like butcher's paper and nails and plywood boards and all kinds of things like cardboard in his sort of, you know, as somebody was calling him, sort of the prehistoric poet in some of this art. And it's funny, when I was looking at some of the paintings, it's kind of reminded me of the graffiti outside in Milan, because of course, if you walk around Milan, you're very aware of graffiti on lots of public buildings in the metro. It's a city that's had its issues with graffiti. But the beauty of these paintings, I almost was wishing that Miro was around maybe 20 years ago to do some beautiful graffiti outside. You know, it's a great thing to see a Catalan artist in Milan. I think it's a nice contrast from lots of exhibits, you know, of the great Italian painters of the past or 20th century. I think it's a bit of fresh air for us here in Milan, and I do recommend it.
Beautiful stuff. Well, that is Miro at MUDEC, and that is on until the 11th of September as well. Wow, everything needs to be cleaned up and done before the 11th of September, by the sounds of it. Just to recap, before that, we talked about L'Espresso at Palazzo Reale, also on until the 11th of September. And we kicked off, of course, talking about the 21st century design after design at Triennale. That's all over Milan, but we were talking about the Palazzo della Permanente Museum. As recommended by our man in Milan, on very good form, talking us through those, that was Ivan Carvalho. Thank you very much indeed. And you've been listening to the Monocle Arts Review with me, Robert Bound, where my producer was Holly Fisher. We'll be back same time tomorrow to talk about something else. Who knows what? For the time being, from me, Robert Bound, thanks for tuning in.